the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with President Biden, who's facing new questions over his health, and a doctor who's made multiple trips to the White House over the past year. Correspondent Jared Hill has our top story.
After declining to say why, Dr. Kevin Kennard, a neurologist and Parkinson's specialist, had visited the White House 8 times in 8 months, last night the president's personal physician sent a memo revealing Kennard had only examined Biden as part of his annual physical, adding the doctor also sees military personnel patients at the White House.
Hurricane Beryl's powered down to a tropical depression now after slamming the Houston area with torrential rain, massive flooding and wind that's decimated homes and property. Haley Laredo's 73-year-old grandmother was crushed to death by a tree that fell on her house.
My son was screaming, Grandma, because he saw me like crying and he started freaking out. He was like, Grandma, he said, call 911.
Beryl's blamed for at least 8 deaths. More than 2.3 million homes and businesses still have no power. An unrelenting heat wave baking the country is suspected in 4 deaths in the Portland area, where the high for today is 104. KXL's John Eric Smith.
The Multnomah County Medical Examiner says 4 people died related to excessive heat over the past weekend. The county says it doesn't know about any possible underlying health issues. Health Officer Dr. Richard Bruno.
They probably would not have expired if they had had a better cooling options.
International condemnation a day after a strike on a children's hospital in Ukraine. CBS's Cammie McCormick.
Rescuers searched through the night for survivors. The UN now says there is a high likelihood the hospital took a direct hit from a Russian missile and called it one of the most egregious attacks since Russia's invasion. The war in Ukraine is tops on the agenda at the NATO summit in Washington, which Moscow says it will be watching closely.
A school district in Chester County, Pennsylvania says a group of middle school students was posting social media videos claiming to be from teachers. Great Valley District Superintendent Daniel Goffredo.
We learned about the creation of 22 fake TikTok accounts that posted grossly inappropriate and hurtful comments.
He says they included pornographic, racist, and homophobic pictures and text, including the teachers and their families. School officials say they're meeting with local law enforcement on possible action. Shaboozies just made history.
Someone pull me up a double shot of whiskey.
A bar songs made him the first black male artist to reach number one on Billboard's Hot 100 and country song charts at the same time. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A woman was found dead in a Racine house fire early yesterday morning, just a day after another fire on Victory Avenue where everyone got out safely. Racine fire crews responded to the fire on West Crescent Street near Case Harmon Park shortly before 7 a.m. yesterday, quickly putting out the flames, but finding the victim near the fire's origin. Officials note that both recent fires lacked working smoke detectors. A main Kenosha artery is getting cut off today. State Highway 158, aka 52nd Street, is closing for a 5-week construction project. It's between 22nd and 30th Avenues. The closure, scheduled to last until August 13th, will significantly impact traffic patterns with a full road closure at the 52nd Street and 28th Avenue intersection. Detour routes are posted, and they include using 30th Avenue, Washington Road, and 22nd Avenue. What's left of Beryl could come through here tonight. The National Weather Service says part of southeastern Wisconsin is likely to see precipitation from what was a hurricane. The threat of more heavy rain has forecasters warning about flooding. The latest is coming up in the forecast. In response to rising costs, Ascension Wisconsin has raised room and board prices at its area hospitals. The Milwaukee Business Journal reports that the increase is about a 20% jump, marking their first price increase since July of 2022. The price hike comes after a cyber attack that disrupted Ascension's operations earlier in the summer. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Brew
Brewer baseball back home tonight.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers begin a three-game series against the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight at AmFam Field. The Pirates coming off an 8-2 win over the Mets. Pittsburgh's big O'Neill Cruz with a two-run homer had to exit the game later with a hamstring injury. NBA free agency continues, and a lot of questions about how the Bucks plan to shape their roster. Bucks GM John Horst.
It's intentional, right? We've got six returning core guys that we know are ready now to compete at a high level and take us where we want to go. We've got three returning young vets that contributed last year and should take another jump this year in Marjan, AJ, and Andre. Chris Livingston had a great first year with us. He's working his ass off, and he's going to be ready to contribute also. And now we've got Tyler and AJ pushing there. And we've got three spots on our roster right now in free agency as soon as we're done with this press conference that we're going to go and figure out the best balance and how they fit the rest of that group.
That's the Bucks general manager, John Horst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
WRJN Sports with Mike Clemens is sponsored hourly by Pottawatomie Hotel Casino. Learn more online at paysbig.com.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today. Could have an isolated shower or thunder shower this afternoon with a high of 78. The wind out of the east at 5 to 10. Tonight, isolated thunderstorm 66. A few scattered storms again tomorrow with a high of 74. We're warming it up, upper 80s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
I went to a wedding last week, and I hate weddings. That's why I like to mess with the married people, because I'm really bitter. Because I'm single still. Comedy keeps me busy. I travel all around, but I want to get married one day, but I just think marriage have changed over the years. Men and women look at marriage differently. When women talk about marriage, it's a happy occasion. I'm getting married. I got my ring. I got my colors picked out. I got four of my fat friends to stand next to me. It's going to be a beautiful day. It's going to be wonderful. No, their dress is ugly. Mine is beautiful. It's not the same for men. When men talk about marriage with our friends, it sounds like something you get diagnosed with. Did you hear what happened to Charles? No, what? He's getting married. No! He was such a nice guy. When did he find out? She told him yesterday at dinner. Is there anything that we could do for him? No, the invitations already went out. There's nothing we can do. Charles is terminal.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Why she had to go, I don't know. She wouldn't say. I said something wrong. Now I long for yesterday. Love was such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
The Beatles.
Beatles and Yesterday. More like Paul McCartney and the Beatles and Yesterday at WRJN. Melissa Caprillion is here, and before we get to her credits, we're going to tell you a story about that song real quickly. Paul McCartney, I forget what show he was on. It was a radio show, and he said that is his favorite song that he ever wrote, and he wrote it with John Lennon. And all these songs say Lennon McCartney on the record label. He wanted that one song to say McCartney Lennon. It just meant something to him to have his name first on that. So he went to Yoko Ono, who controls everything John Lennon, and because he has to have a business meeting with her every year because she controls John Lennon's stuff. And so he went to her and said, could we change that one song? It won't mean any less money to you. It doesn't mean, it's just something, it means something to me. And she says, no. He said, I get along with everybody. Everybody. There's very few people on this planet I can't get along with. I can't get along with Yoko Ono.
Oh.
She just no to everything he wants to do. And she controls everything John Lennon.
Heartbreaking.
You know, one song. Wouldn't let him do it.
Oh.
So anyway. Enough with that.
Something there.
We got that. That's a first world problem. Melissa Caprillion is here, 5th District Alder. And I remember you just wanted to call Alder. I remember
that's
that.
That's right.
Also, County Board Supervisor. Yeah. And also, what district, County? Second?
Fourth.
I can't keep track of the numbers.
That's okay.
4th District Supervisor and also Executive Director of the Kenosha Food Bank. What district? No, I'm not kidding.
All of Kenosha County. Good morning, Don.
Okay, good morning. Before we get started, we lost, obviously, a very big man, the county supervisor, just passed away.
County executive, yeah.
Supervisor. County executive. The name just popped out of my head.
Jonathan Delagrave.
And I just met him for the first time recently, a couple of weeks ago, at a veteran's dedication at Pritchard Park. And we were talking for a few minutes here. Seemed the picture of health to me.
Really?
He was talking, joking, and really moving around. And you never know.
You never know. It was shocking. I think for all of us who have been just part of his journey, and to see this man all of a sudden dedicating himself to, he went to this vegetarian, veganish diet, and for the last 3 years, I believe it was, and he's been playing pickleball, he's been running, he's been working out. We saw this transformation over the last couple years. I think the day before he passed, he was playing pickleball in the evening.
What is pickleball? I've heard of it. I don't know what it is.
You know, whoever plays pickleball is probably going to come at me with one, but they're rackets. It looks like you're playing on a tennis net, right? But it's more with a solid racket. So a bit of like a racquetball and tennis mixed in one.
Now, I'm going to sound stupid, but you don't hit pickles.
You don't hit pickles. Oh, okay. You do not hit pickles. No.
Smashing pickles back and forth.
But how fun. But his shirt he was wearing on Tuesday night before he passed was pictures of pickles on it. And my son was with me. I had to take my son to the county board meeting, my 11-year-old. And he says, why is he wearing a pickle shirt? And so we had to ask him. And he goes, because I love pickleball. And it's somebody gave it to him. And it was
So sad. You know, and when I hear something like that, it's like, oh, I just talked to him. It's like all of a sudden you get, oh, what happened? Because, you know, it's one thing when somebody's sick for a long period of time, you kind of expect it. But this was a shocker. He was only in his second term, right?
No, he's been there for like a decade, right?
As county executive?
Yeah.
Why did I say second term? Was he in a coma for a year? When did I just come out of this information? All right. He said to him, I was talking to Andrew, and we were trying to get on the air, but Andrew doesn't work for him anymore.
No.
Well, I didn't know that. So obviously that's why Andrew wasn't working on this anymore. He said, no, call my office. I'll come on in a few weeks, I promise you.
Oh.
But you never know. And that's why he's not here.
And now you have all of us who help carry his legacy and, you know, what
so what happens now?
So a little bit in mid-December is when they're going to have a special election. So it was just announced. We have a county board meeting this evening. And so a lot of that will be discussed. But in December, we'll have a special election.
Let's talk about Alder. Here in the city of Racine, you are the 5th district.
Yes.
Which covers the north side, right?
Part of the north side. That's right. I always say by the zoo. I no longer have the zoo.
That used to be
in my district, but now it's out. So Main Street and Douglas used to be in my district, but now I'm sandwiched between Main Street and Douglas.
So what issues are we looking at? Are we should be concerned about something? Should we be, you know, worrying at night? What's going on? Everything kosher or what's going on?
Yeah, I could answer that in two different ways. One thing, yes, you always should be involved in local government. That's my thoughts. However, you do elect somebody to do the worrying for you. Right? Yeah, he's pointed a finger at me, folks. So, and that is what we do. We it's up to us to really do our due diligence on issues. But it does help when we have support of the people who have elected us. So we're going to have the budget coming up in October. We need the community to pay attention because big decisions are going to need to happen this year. ARPA dollars are going to be going away, those American relief.
What dollars are going away?
Remember the relief money that came in during COVID that time. So
we're still getting that?
Yeah, we're still getting that. Well, we got it, but we had a certain duration to use them up, right? And so start paying attention to the budget because we, in my belief system here, I believe we're down to the skeleton of our services at the city, and cuts need to get made. So what happens? In my opinion, limbs need to go. And with that, that's when the community starts feeling the hurt. So one big complaint we've been getting for those who are homeowners, they see their water bills and they've gone up the service fees on those water bills. And I've been fielding a lot of calls with that. And home assessments have gone up. And those type of things hurt people because in this economic time, you'll see this increase at the grocery store. You see this increase when you're traveling at all the stores. And then all of a sudden, if you're a property owner or even if you rent, everything's just going up. So I think it wakes people up to get involved. And on the streets, you know what I noticed on? So something I'm going to bring it back a little more milder is we have this pilot program for the speed humps because we always talk about every time I get here about speeding because that's one thing that us alders constantly receive calls on is that there's always speeding in front of their home. What are we going to do about it? And so the city has rolled out, and it was passed during the budget, these speed humps. I happened to notice on my way here that they put a speed hump at the north end of Lathrop, right around the curve by the cemetery. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, what an odd place to put a speed hump because you think that curve would naturally slow things down. So, you know, here I am too as an elected official and I'm kind of grumping over decisions being made. But there is a process that's decided by Public Works and the police department and they vet out, you know, where's the best location. So whatever the metrics were, they found that that'd be a good location. But I'm thinking, man, they just put it on Gould Street or on Main Street, right?
I can't believe you're calling it a speed hump. We call it speed bumps.
Well, if you were to look at it, it's not a little short, little boop, boop, you know, it's this elongated
I just
hump.
Found that interesting. Forget what it's doing. It's just speed hump.
It's to give you a different type of visual, Don.
I just never heard of that before.
You haven't?
No.
You haven't driven and seen the signs that kind of warn you of a speed hump up above?
Nope.
Some
speed bump?
Speed bump, yeah.
No. Speed bump coming up. I can't stand them when there's, like, I go to Walgreens, they have, like, six in a row. And I try to go around it, you know. I know what it's there for, to slow people down. I get it. There's two speed bumps, and they're located just when you get out of the roundabout or before you get to the roundabout, depending which way you're going, on State Street, right by the railroad tracks.
Yeah.
And boom, 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 boom. I mean, you hit them every time. They're just annoying. I know it's a first world problem, and you know, it's just one of these things. It's meant to slow you down just a little bit. And if that's what it does and prevents people from getting hurt, I guess it does its job.
And it's some of those problems, Don, that creates people's sense of of their quietness and having their sense of peace removed. So like speeding cars or loud noise cars. But Don, honestly, they go by, and if they're going at their 70 miles per hour that they complain, they're driving by at 70 miles. It's going to go by your house in seconds, and then it's gone. Why are you letting it eat your day?
Wait a second. No, we're going to talk about that. No. No, you're wrong. It doesn't go by in seconds. We're going to talk about that in a moment here. Right. Melissa Caprillion, my guest. I'm Don Rosen. Thanks for joining us at 719 at WRJN.
What's on Tap? Brought to you by Miller Lite, the original light beer. Rooting for the Brew Crew, because we're from Milwaukee, too. Tastes like Miller time.
Following Brewers Sunday home games, all kids ages 14 and under can come down to the field and run the bases at American Family Field, courtesy of Aurora Healthcare. The post-game kids run the bases line begins along the first baseline on the field level.
Milwaukee Brewers baseball and Miller Lite.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL HHS or the U.S. government.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue. Something sounds different on WRJN. We're refreshing hometown radio with local news and timeless hits. Our on-air host will keep you up to date with local, state, and national news every hour, along with Mike Clemens Sports and, of course, the local weather forecast. Then Don Rosen, Cindy Huber, and Kurt Vollman will talk about what's happening right here in our city, county, and state while spinning those timeless hits that are so much fun to hear again. You can hear our Civic Media talk shows on 540 AM WAUK or on the Civic Media app. You can hear WRJN on 99.9 FM, 98.1 FM, and on our historic AM frequency, 1400 AM. Local news, timeless hits. WRJN.
Melissa Caprillion, my guest here at WRJN. We were talking about the 2 seconds of noise you hear when cars go by on Main Street. It's not 2 seconds. It's you can hear it coming a block away. You can hear it going a block or two away. And when that car goes, now comes a motorcycle with no muffler. But motorcycles don't have them. And then coming in the other direction is another car going down the street. And yes, it's, again, a first world problem, a little noisy. But it's annoying. And you know what's really bad? When I see them speeding, and that's not for noise. That's where, you know, animals, the dogs might cross the street all of a sudden, and, you know, people, and they go, speed limit's 30 miles an hour on Main, 25 downtown, and they're going at least 40 or 50 sometimes, so.
So I have this big smile on my face, because I've heard this so many times, right? So it's all about perspective, and when you look at different perspectives, it's, so do you think about the peace you have between the cars that you don't hear, or do you focus then on those few cars that are loud? And in modern times now, we're not seeing as many falling off mufflers that we, I know.
Those I focus like on the few time. Cars.
See, exactly. And it disrupts like a good portion of your day. And I
it doesn't. You know when it bothers me?
Tell me.
It's just, I'm just sitting in the house relaxed. It doesn't bother me. Yeah. It's more like a, you know, it's just the rudeness of it, I guess. Yeah. It doesn't bother me. There's no way. It bothers me somebody's so rude that they don't care. They put these things on their cars that make the noise. Mm-hmm. They're not, it's something you can put on the muffler to make that put, 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 you know, that loud noise. It's the fact that they don't care. You know, it's my fellow neighbors, my fellow human beings, and they don't care. They just want to. They want to be happy by making noise. How about those cars that come by in the middle of the night with the radio blasting? All you hear is the bass. Boom, 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 boom. Again, they don't care.
They're feeling good at that moment for themselves. I'll tell you, near your home, I had to go to a constituent gathering, a whole neighborhood gathering, because they were upset exactly of loud noise of these vehicles and speeding. And there were a bit of an older population of crowd. And my mom came with me to that one. And she happened to know a couple of the individuals from growing up in that neighborhood. And she had said to them, she's like, wait a minute, I will not say the name. And she said, you used to hot rod. What could somebody have told you back in the day? Because you were a hot rodder.
You were scooping the loop downtown. Yeah.
So
you loop scooper.
At some period of time, all of a sudden, it's acceptable for you. But now it's not acceptable
for
anyone else.
Well, yes, because it's like that loud rock and roll music. But yet, when I was a kid.
See?
Yeah. It doesn't bother. It's just the rudeness of people. It's like when they take up two parking spaces in a parking lot. Mm-hmm. You know you're doing it. But you want to be rude anyway. You know,
do you think it's intentional? Do you think they go in?
Oh, wait, how about the people who park in a handicap spot and shouldn't be parking
now
it?
That's
laziness. And they don't care about somebody who actually needs that. But they don't care.
Yeah, I don't think they're thinking past that moment, which that's hard, right? And some of our life experiences have made us think past moments for that awareness.
What's your biggest complaint you hear from your constituents?
Oh, gosh, it's all, you know.
We have an hour. We have 2 hours. What do you
think? Well, time matters, right? But here, speeding cars is one that is big right now. Noisy and speeding cars. Big, big, big right now.
That's the number one complaint?
Right now it is. It truly is. Oh, well, wow. But give it a couple months back, it was about assessments. Everybody got their assessments in the mail, right? So that was big.
Pitchforks and torches coming down to City Hall.
Just tons of calls and emails. And this is also a time people are outside doing their yard work. So they're starting to notice what other neighbors aren't doing. And so we have, you know, people with a lot of trash in their yard, or they're not mowing their grass.
People complain to you about that?
Oh, my goodness, Don, you just don't even know. But, you know, to go back to the speeding cars, which I hate to sit here on this one, but I'll have individuals who will call because over the weekend there was lots of noisy cars. And now we're sitting on a Wednesday. And I was like, well, what do you want us to do? It's Wednesday, but you don't understand. So they're holding on to that same energy. So that's, you know, sometimes my point. I know every time I'm on the show, we talk about these speeding cars, but
you know, I would, this is why I couldn't be in politics, because I would tell the person, shut up and leave me alone. And then I wouldn't get elected. Yeah. I just couldn't deal with it. I can't be diplomatic about anything. Mm-hmm. I tell people what I think, and then I'd be voted out of office. Probably the next day, they'd hold a special election to get me out. So I can't do something like that. I just can't deal with the public. I've never had a job in my entire life where I had to deal one-on-one with the public.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do it. Because if somebody came into my store and I was waiting behind the counter, I don't like the way this was made. Eat it and shut up. You're lucky you have food. A lot of people in the world are starving. See, that's what I would do. And that's why I've never been able to do
it. I hunger for that personality. I really do. I wish I could kind
of
see that.
My daughter was 16 years old, 15 or 16, working at a cousin's in Brown Deer. And she was not allowed to do anything but wait at the counter because she was underage, you know. So she's working there, and the guy didn't like his sandwich that she didn't even make. And he said, if this doesn't come back, I'm going to throw it in your face. Now, he didn't do it, but he threatened to do it. And he scared her. She's 15 years old, getting a sandwich thrown in her face. She had nothing to do with that sandwich whatsoever. Yeah. This is why I can't. You know what I would say to the guy? You do that, you're going to wear another sandwich on your face. You understand? Oh. And I'd get fired. There's no way I can't deal with these
that
people.
That is tough. That is tough.
Well, this is good. I got to find out what more people are complaining about these days.
I can give it to you.
Now, this is just on the city side.
That's just the city.
People complain about the county side, too?
It doesn't happen that much. I don't think many understand.
They don't realize the separation.
Yeah, what's going on at the county. So it covers, but honestly, the biggest things right now for the city is we have Alder West has left a seat in the 8th District. And so this Wednesday, we are going to appoint somebody to fill. Alder Marcus West. It used to be in QA Shakur's spot.
Yeah,
And so now we have two that are up to be appointed. It's either QA Shakur, he put his name in to be considered, and Cynthia Escuera, I believe it is. And so she would like to be considered too. So her family owns the store and restaurant right over on where the correction facility is on Memorial, right there. Vincent is her father. So it's his daughter who's running for that seat and QA Shakur. So they're to be considered by the Common Council, will decide who gets to fill it temporarily.
More with 5th District Alder, Melissa Caprillion. Also, she is the county supervisor for the, don't tell me, you told me already, not second, fourth.
Fourth
when it comes to the county, and also executive director of the Kenosha Food Bank. We'll talk about that as well. That's all coming up. It's 7:30 on the noggin. Time to go to the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom. Stuart's here with the news. Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A memorial service for Jonathan Delagrave will be held today at Grace Church. People going were told to wear Wisconsin Badgers attire in honor of Delagrave. Racine County voters will choose a new county executive in December. The county clerk has set December 19th as the date of a special election to fill the role left vacant by the passing of Delagrave. A second crash in about a month is pushing plans for a roundabout ahead. Three cars were involved in a crash at highways 75 and A in the town of Dover yesterday. A semi was part of the mess, with one person treated for injuries after being trapped in a car. On the same day, final approvals were signed, moving a roundabout project forward there, with closures starting to impact the intersection next week. The Kenosha County man killed while fleeing from police Saturday had a warrant, didn't have a license, and was a suspect in several burglaries. The Lake County coroner has identified 32-year-old Tyler Johnson from Salem Lakes as the driver killed in a high-speed police chase that ended in a crash near Zion Saturday. Johnson was driving a stolen Lexus and collided with an SUV on 173, causing injuries to eight people in that vehicle. The campus leader at Parkside is the lowest paid of the 14 UW chancellors, but Lynn Akey is about to get a raise. The UW Board of Regents voted to increase base pay for all chancellors yesterday. The salary for the leader at Parkside is now at about $275,000 annually. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Red eyes, runny nose, just all around discomfort? Sound familiar? I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Tuesday. Well, you probably have summertime allergies, and this year the pollen count has been pretty high. That's according to Ken Mendez, who's the president and CEO of the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America. Now, whether you work on a farm or not, pollen is everywhere, and he's got some suggestions on how you can manage through it.
The other thing to do is avoid going outside during high release times. So keep your windows closed. And if you have to go out during high release pollen times, then when you come back indoors, make sure you leave your shoes, your coat, wipe your pet down if you're taking your pet out for a walk so you don't track the pollen inside your home. You spend 90% of your time indoors, so making sure that you don't track the pollen from outdoors to the indoors.
Just a couple tips for allergy sufferers or those you may live with that suffer with allergies. That's Ken Mendez. He's the president and CEO of the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America. You can track pollen release through your local weather station or online.
Introducing Certain Herbicide, the latest corn innovation from BASF. It brings powerful PPO residual chemistry into a pre-through early post application thanks to novel solid encapsulation technology. Apply from pre-plant to V3 and get up to 8 weeks of residual control or suppression of 79 broadleaf and grass weed species. Don't chase weeds all through the season. Attack them before they emerge with Certain Herbicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Water hemp,
Palmer amaranth, and giant ragweed. Left undisturbed, they will become the most dangerous foes to corn plants. But in the early season, these weeds are at their weakest. Now is the time. A predator lurks. Certain herbicide attacks, unleashing full residual power before weeds have a chance to emerge. Pre or early post application, they are hopeless against such effective chemistry. Certain herbicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
And it does look like Wisconsin farmers are feeling a little more confident about the crops they're growing these days. As of Sunday, according to the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service, 62% of our corn was rated good to excellent. That's up one percentage point compared to last week. 60% of our soybeans rated good to excellent. That's a 3 percentage point increase in confidence in 1 week's time. Potato condition, 90% of that crop good to excellent, up 2 percentage points from just last week. Our pastures, 69% good to excellent. Now that number's down 2% in a week. More food news anytime you need it. Come on over to MidwestFarmReport.com and sign up for our daily e-newsletter. There's your Tuesday update. I'm Pam Yonke.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today. Could have an isolated shower or thunder shower this afternoon with a high of 78. The wind out of the east at 5 to 10. Tonight, isolated thunderstorm 66. A few scattered storms again tomorrow with a high of 74. We're warming it up. Upper 80s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
I don't know if this is a woman thing, but I was having lunch with my wife today. Out of the blue, she just leans over to me and goes, Pete, I just want you to know, if I ever get really sick and I'm in the hospital, it's okay if you want to move on with your life and see other people. You feel how tense it is right now? That's how tense it was. She meant it to be sweet, but she really just freaked me out. Like, next time I have the flu, she'll be like, this is Julio.
And thanks for joining us, 636 at WRJN, Hometown Radio, Refresh, Local News, Sam Lizitz. Melissa Caprillion is here. She is our 5th District Alder. She is the 4th District County Supervisor. How do you keep the numbers straight? Also, the Executive Director of the Kenosha Food Bank. Where do you find the time for all this stuff? I'm exhausted with doing this 3 hours in the morning. I go home and I gotta get to sleep. Oh. And I'm out for the day.
Don, I marry it all together. It's all about getting to know your community. All of it is. And for the food bank, I'm looking for to be able to get into the vulnerable spots of the community so I can help out. And the same thing when people are in their state of unrest and having some issues, it's usually at a very vulnerable moment. So it all just kind of blends and melts together.
Okay, so we were talking about what the constituents want and what they don't want. Forget about the complaints. What do they want most now from the city of Racine or the county, for that matter? But for the city of Racine, what are they most? Do they ever come up to you and say, oh, here's my wish list, get it done? And forget about the noisy streets and the fast cars.
We're not going to go there again. Okay. But it's communication, communication, communication. Just like in any good relationship, there's good communication. And it is the same thing. So if you're getting a notice in the mail in regards to having a violation at your home or because of a dangerous animal, your dog was barking or bit somebody or bit something, or your weeds are growing long or your garbage isn't picked up, it's how the community, how the city is communicating that message to them. Or if you have an alley assessment, it's how are we communicating? Or if we're not, how can we communicate better? And that even translates to our city council floor. Us aldermen expect us to receive information so we can communicate better to our constituents. So I think all around, everybody just is hungry for good communication.
So who's responsible for Spring Street, right where Pick and Save is on Spring? There's a stretch of road there that is just in need of repair. I mean, I get my car going, bum, 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 going through there.
Mount Pleasant.
Oh, that's Mount Pleasant.
That is Mount Pleasant.
Oh, so you get away with it.
Yeah, don't bring up any other streets east of that. But where you're talking about is Mount Pleasant.
Yeah, because for the most part, Racine's pretty good. You know, I really don't have complaints. And when I talk about the speeding cars, that's because I'm looking for something to complain about.
Yeah.
But no, it's fine. The North Beach area, it's just wonderful. As a matter of fact, starting today, I'm back to taking my walks because I haven't been doing that since my dog passed away. Every day I was walking my dog. And when we had put him to sleep, I stopped walking.
Yeah.
And so now I'm going back this afternoon.
Well, you know, Don, it's hard to pick up those same rituals that you had, especially if you were walking it with your dog. But, you know, the city, you'll see people complain about our construction cones. You know, you try to go one way and you're blocked because the street is closed. But really, somebody had told me once, I was at an event some years ago where I was speaking and they wanted to know what's going on with Racine, and somebody had brought up the construction and I had, you know, kind of fed into it and I was going along with it. And somebody said, hey, I travel all around the world and there's a lot of places I travel where I don't see that and the roads are horrible. This shows that the city cares. They care. So it's about perspective. So when you see those barrels, some were investing in that, investing in, you know, better roadways, investing in that space. So that's how you have to look at those barrels.
So they had some construction just before the Main Street Bridge.
Yes, I saw that.
And David Mack was in here as part of the Fourth Fest Committee. And he said the city promised it's going to be done by parade time. And I said, listen, I pass that every single day. I could see China in that hole. It's so deep. There's no way they're going to do it. And I said, I'm going to put $10 down as a donation to the Fourth Fest if that hole is fixed. And I said, there's no way it's going to happen. And we're getting closer, closer, closer. Then all of a sudden, the barrels are gone. The streets open.
And they got your donation.
And they're getting my donation. I cannot believe that they got that done just for at the absolute moment for parade day. It was all done. The barrels were gone. It was all striped and everything.
Look what they can get accomplished when there is pure focus just on that. But I saw that too, right before, the day before. I was like, this is close.
Because we were going through a slalom with that. I mean, for a while, it was getting kind of tricky. Yeah. And I did it in the morning when there was no other cars around. But it was like a slalom going through there, like a skier would do in the Olympics. So, Okay, so, were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to say
I saw the hand going up.
No, it was just really talking about I got to see you in the parade route, too. So you got to not only you drive through that every day, you got to see it all cleared away as you were driving by in your...
Somebody said to me that I was driving by. Yeah. They said, hey, Stuart J. Waddles, I listen to you every morning. I said, thank you. Only because I didn't have time to explain because we're traveling. So I just said thank you. And they'll say, gee, I thought Stuart J. Waddles looked a little, you know, cooler than that. And all of a sudden, I see this dork come by, and he said he was Stuart J. Waddles. On the county side, any people complaining about anything, or is it just smooth sailing on the county side? Because I don't think people know the difference between county and city. You know, they see their stuff not working on their streets, and they, even though that's the county, they don't know who controls what. And what does the county control?
So the county is really an arm of the state. And so we're dealing with a little bit different of things. If you think about, we're working on a mental health facility. So that's something really big right now. And what's really sad, Don, this has been something that Jonathan Delagrave has been championing since his first State of the County address that I heard. He was talking about mental health. And it's just ramped up over the years. I mean, he always was just somebody that was really a voice to, we have to address this. And in our community, these numbers are staggering and we can't just keep reporting on these numbers. We have to do something. And so we got a beautiful letter from a city employee at the county emails that had really brought forth an idea about naming this mental health facility in honor of Jonathan. And hopefully I hope that's something we can do. And we're so early on, the building's not there, none of that, but I can foresee that happening.
He's a young guy.
51, Don.
You know, every time I belong onto this Facebook page, it's called the Hollywood Death Page, and it's about actors who passed away on this date or were born on this date. I can't believe how many of these actors died in their 50s and early 60s. And I say, wow. I thought they were like their 80s or 90s. Now, there's some that were.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I say, whoa, what happened in your life? And a lot of them, and it could have been the stress of acting, maybe the you know, drinking that goes on and the, and you know,
we just can't take our days for granted, can we? And then that's how I look at things, that life is so short. But, you know, I worked an end of life, right? So I have a different perspective. So if I hear that loud car, I don't let it affect me beyond that 1 minute. Here we go again. I'm teasing you now at this point. But it really does. It puts life into perspectives, especially when it's close in age. Jonathan was just a few years older than I was or am. And so his service is today. So
the memorial service. Yeah.
Memorial service.
You just had a birthday. Congratulations. Made another year gone by.
I accept that. Congratulations. Thank you for that.
Another year. This is it. They just keep flying by.
Oh, you know what? I love it. And Alderman Jeff Coe sings happy birthday to me every year. So I just, it's something I get to look forward to. It's nice. And then the 4th of July, I feel like it's a month of celebration for me, but I know we're celebrating other things, but
oh, that's right. You must have thought the 4th of July was for you.
I always have thought that.
My daughter's birthday's around Christmas.
Mm.
And I always felt bad when a relative said, hey, this is for your birthday and for Christmas.
Oh.
And you know they didn't double up on the...
Yeah.
They know they just cheaped out on that. And that's always sad.
Aww.
My birthday's always on Memorial Day weekend.
Mm.
It's just the way it works out.
Yeah.
But they can't cheap out because this is for Memorial Day and your birthday.
Not so much of a giving holiday. Yeah, I've always believed this is my favorite time of year. First of all, I love summer. I'm a gardener. But yeah, the 4th of July, I just love that time of year.
You know what I got for my birthday this year? My wife got me 4 boxes of Girl Scout cookies, the lemonades. And by the way, we're going to talk about something about that. I need you to work on something. And 4 bottles of Taco Bell fire sauce, which is hard to get at the supermarket. Yeah, so she found them. But yeah, I love the lemonade cookies, but they
what
only sell them for the
mix.
Month. Well, that's what I like. I mean, she got me something that she got me something.
That. That's
I'm
very
gonna,
personal.
She got
yeah,
me something I'm going to use.
Right on.
So they only sell Girl Scout cookies during the month of March.
Yeah.
And you know, I was coming down, I think it was Stewart Avenue. I'm trying to remember the name of the street I was coming down. And I saw the table in front of their house. And I did a U-turn real quickly in the middle of the street, went back. And the woman said, I knew you were coming. I saw you looking at the table when you went by. And I did a U-E. And I went there. Girl Scout cookie. I want some kind of, I don't know if it's a county thing or it's going to be a city thing. But I want some kind of law passed that Girl Scout cookies will be sold year-round.
Mm.
This March-only stuff isn't going to happen because it's my favorite cookies, Girl Scout cookies. And I remember there's a meme, and I'll show it to you in a minute off the air. It shows a little girl selling her cookies, and the caption read, I was clean for a year, then I saw my dealer on the street.
Oh, my goodness. I've seen something very similar. But it is funny. You bring up things we often get as elected officials where we're asked to solve every problem under the sun that really
well, this
has
should take precedent.
But I will tell you, and I mentioned this on air one of the other time, and you did not like my answer, and I'm going to bring it up again. So you know there are dupes of Girl Scout cookies, so, and people rave about them, and Aldi's carries a lot of cookies that are dupes of the Girl Scout one. I know that will not satisfy you.
No,
don't jump on me,
Don.
Don't
even start. No, it won't satisfy me.
I know, but there is something a level where you can support the Girl Scout.
You know what's really sad? Every once in a while, the Girl Scouts will discontinue a cookie. Now, people have to know, different Girl Scouts, different parts of the country have different cookies because they use different bakeries all around. They can't have one bakery. And they used to have one. Now, I get lemonades, which is like a shortbread cookie with lemons smeared on one side. They used to have the same version of that with chocolate smeared on one side. They got rid of that.
Oh, and the names have changed since I was in Girl Scouts. But the food bank gets a huge donation.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that,
of Girl Scout cookies.
Leftovers?
And just big boxes of them. And what we take in, we push out right away, right?
Well, I'll give you money for those.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know if we have any left. I don't think we have any left, but I will say it's the first year I found out that there are some vegan ones because I've never looked it up. Typically, I don't, being a vegan, look, Don's going crazy, folks, here.
No, my wife knows what I like. Fire sauce from Taco Bell. And she got me El Diablo sauce. Diablo sauce one. That was way too hot. And so she got me four boxes of lemonades and four bottles of fire sauce.
I didn't realize that's so tasty.
But that's what I, you know, I said to my mother, this years ago, she said, what do you want for your birthday? I said, I need socks and underwear. She said, I'm not getting you socks and underwear for your birthday. But that's what I want.
Yeah.
Because I didn't go out and buy it for myself. Just go buy me socks and underwear and t-shirts. And she wouldn't do it.
Oh.
Instead, she bought me a pair of pants that I didn't like. They were green. And I returned them. And I felt bad. You know, I never returned a gift after that again. Because my mother felt bad I returned them. She said, you returned it? I thought you'd like them. And I felt bad. And I never returned another gift. I either take them, throw them out, or hide them. But I won't return them.
I did a research on this. I read a book called Scroogenomics, and it talks about the value of gift giving and just exactly what you're talking about, how we receive it to what people pay and how the value is a lot lower. And so usually the gift that keeps its same value, it's one thing, and that's money. But look at you got something that wasn't a value to you.
They looked terrible. They were green slacks. And I said, how am I going to wear these? And so I kept them in the closet, and then I went to Mid-Island Stores. This is in New York. I went there, and I returned them. And my mother said, where are the pants I got you? Oh, and I had to tell her the truth, because if I said they're in the closet, oh, go get them. Then you're a liar. So I felt really bad that I returned. I never returned a gift after that. Melissa Caprillion is here. We're talking about returning gifts. And actually, we're going to talk about the Kenosha Food Bank in just a moment here at WRJN. 7:50. Good morning. Local news and timeless hits here at WRJN.
Hot dogs grilling, frosty beverages chilling, Brewers game on the radio. Sounds like a perfect summer day. Except when uninvited guests crash the party. Don't let pesky critters put a damper on your tailgate. Safeway Pest Management is your pest prevention partner, keeping your outdoor spaces bug-free all season long. They're a Wisconsin proud company, providing safe and effective pest control for over 65 years. So call 262-679-4422 and enjoy a pest-free tailgate victory.
We all love Saturdays, but are they really all that rewarding? I mean, do you really feel rewarded after mowing the lawn or doing all your I gotta do this because today's the weekend, whatevers? Well, Pottawatomie wants your Saturdays to be the most rewarding ever with a share of $400,000 in cash and prizes. Just play this July for prize drawing entries. Win on Saturdays. Plus, each Pottawatomie rewards level gets their own drawing. Rewarding Saturdays at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, Milwaukee. For more details, visit paysbig.com/reward. Must be 21 and a rewards member to play.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Okay, life insurance. The question I get the most is, do I really need it? Now, if you've got kids or a spouse or a loved one who depends on you, then yes, I've got two steps to help you get one. Step one, multiply your annual income by 20. This is how you estimate how much money you want the policy to be worth. It's called the coverage. It's how much money your loved ones get in case the unthinkable happens. Step two, look into a 20-year term policy for that amount. Term is just insurance lingo for a simple form of insurance. It covers you for a set rate of time, a term. The average cost of a 20-year term policy for most folks is between $26 and $30 a month. That's it, two steps to get you going. And then, if the unexpected happens, your loved ones can have some money to support them. For more money tips, head on over to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
The big winners are in for the Scotty Summer Contest.
Exciting. Let's listen to the calls.
Hi, who's this?
It's Tori.
You're one of our grand prize winners.
All right, man. Great to hear this morning.
We got some good news for you.
Okay.
You are one of our grand prize winners.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome.
Winning is fun. Just ask Tammy from Baraboo and Tori from Kewaunee.
Thank you. That's great.
Listen for future chances to text and win on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Today's WRJN Big Deal of the Day. 50% savings at Tony Chen's Chinese restaurant in Racine. Every dish served is love on a plate. Mouthwatering egg foo young, savory Mongolian chicken, crispy egg rolls, and flavorful fried rice. Tony Chen's has something for everyone, and they take pride in serving you the finest Chinese dishes made with the finest ingredients. Go to WRJN.com, click on the Big Deals tab, and purchase $20 gift certificates for just $10 at WRJN Big Deals.
WRJN.
talking about gift giving with Melissa Caprillion, Alder Supervisor. And let's talk about the Kenosha Food Bank now, because you're executive director of that. And, you know, people like me never have to worry. We go to the fridge. We go to the closet. There's always food. And what's not there, I go to the store and buy it, because I can afford to buy anything I want when it comes to food. And I don't buy a lot of luxury items. You don't find caviar in my house. But it's hard to believe there are people out there that don't have food. It's just, I can't, because all my life, you know, even my parents didn't have money. We always had food in the house. They always managed to get food. But there are people that don't have it. And that's kind of shocking to me that we need to don't have food.
And it creates so many additional barriers when you don't have access to food. You don't have to think about it. So it's not something, unless you're thinking about what you're making for dinner, right? But because you just shared with us that even when you were a kid, like, you always had access to food. So, but somebody who's facing food insecurity, that's a constant thought. You're eating a meal and you're thinking about your next meal, and you're thinking about, now imagine what that does to your thought process when trying to deal with other things as well. And so, and the whole idea of having food bank and who services the food pantries is, if we can give you an emergency supply of food, we're hoping to relieve that piece of your worries, so you can focus on the other things to help you to be in a more self-sufficient state.
Who gives food to the food bank?
It's all donation. So not all donation. So now realize the Kenosha County Food Bank, even though it's been around for a couple years, it's got me as the first executive director. It was run by an active board, but we're partnered with the Racine County Food Bank, which has been around. It's been part of the Racine community's landscape for many decades now. And they do supplement their donations with purchased food as well. So Kenosha County Food Bank, we've got to get in a little bit more of a sustainable state. We share the same space, so we're sharing donated goods. Kenosha County Food Bank has yet to purchase any food products, so we're just giving the food pantry donated products at this point. But the philosophy behind the Racine County Food Bank is they follow the food plate model. So you have different food groups. And so if you are missing, there's a void in a food group, let's just say your grains, then you're purchasing rice. If there's a void in the proteins, then you're purchasing proteins. And so, you know, so at some point, Kenosha County Food Bank will be at that. But right now we're dispersing donated goods. So, which is helpful. You know, people, that's the thing, Don, is you're not really thinking about, you can go to the store if you want something. Usually those that are faced with food insecurity are relying on donated goods. The autonomy is removed from what you get to have, right? I mean, yeah, you can pick from this canned good or this canned good, but there's a lot of fresh produce. Right now we have a lot of farms that do donate.
Oh, they do donate. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good.
So it's a great time. And there's a lot of the food pantries are going to, and I'm working in Kenosha, so Shalom, the homeless shelter, the Welcome Center in Kenosha, they have, just like at your grocery store, where it's an app, and you can go on there and select, okay, your proteins, and you can select if whatever meat may be available, and you can select what time to pick it up. So you go on the app, you select your item, and then you roll up at a certain time and they put it in there, which is great. It gives you this sense of autonomy, but yet, you know, you're only limited to what has been donated. So Shalom only gives out what is donated. They do not purchase their goods too, but they have a huge support base. So
you find people sometimes go in there and say, oh, I'm embarrassed to be here. I don't want it, but my kid's starving. And,
yeah,
you know, I see these pictures from the Depression era, and these kids are eating a bowl of just nothing to survive. And that was during the Depression. I mean, there were no food banks. I mean, if you can find something, there was a movie called The Good Earth. Do you remember that movie?
No,
Earl Buck wrote that movie. Wrote the book, The Good Earth. He had to read in school. They made a movie about it. And in the film, it takes place in China. And they're so poor, they're cooking dirt.
Oh,
they take dirt, add water, because they're hoping there were some minerals in the soil.
Yeah.
And they're drinking it like soup.
It's a survival thing.
Yeah. But anyway, Now, if somebody wants to partake and mainly if children are hungry, you know, you got to get their bones built up. How do they go to the food bank and get it?
So the food bank is not a location for individuals to pick up. The food bank just supplies the food pantries. Okay. So right now on
you're the distributor.
Yeah, that's right. And okay. On our Facebook page, I'm highlighting our pantries that we service right now. And I put on there their dates and their times that they distribute, and that's open for the public to be able to pick up some products. But the school, there is a free meal program with the schools throughout the summer, so they are limited on certain times, and I do have a post on that as well. So yeah, you can go to Kenosha County Food Bank on the Facebook page, and you can see that, or go to the KUSD, and it's also on there as well.
One last thing here.
Yes, Dad.
I came across this yesterday, and at first I said, ugh, and then I said, well, this doesn't sound that bad. Scrambled pancakes. You pour your batter into the pan like normal,